huge news, years in the making, my brand new book that my publishers refuse to publish, Money Matrix. Beat the money system and build generational wealth. Understand the three main ways that the banks productize you and make money from you. You'll be able to turn that system against itself, build generational wealth and multiple streams of recurring income. It's all at moneymatrix.cash. And if you're quick, the first few hundred registrants and buyers will receive many special bonuses from me. The brand new Moneymaker Summit 3-day special event. Meet me at a champagne reception. Meet me at a multi-millionaire networking dinner. Go now, moneymatrix.cash. This is huge.
Welcome to the Disruptive Entrepreneur Podcast.
What does the word disruptive mean to you?
It means going beyond the ordinary, going beyond the status quo.
Not thinking in the conventional way, not just sort of following the herd.
Disruptive means shaking things up, you know?
Disruptive entrepreneur is somebody who sees the problem and embraces the problem with a new way.
Shake up and awakening.
Quality will take care of itself, and you'll go from being disruptive but also profitable.
When you use your reservoir of talent, when you love what you do, then you disrupt.
Mix it up, change it up, and dominate.
And now, your host, 8 times best-selling author and double world record holder, Rob Moore.
Hi, it's Rob Moore here, and welcome to the Disruptive Entrepreneur Podcast. The three types of brand and how you build and integrate them. So I think there are three main types of brand. The company brand, the product brand, could also be a service, and the personal brand. So if you think Apple is the company brand, then for example, iPhone is the product brand and Steve Jobs is the personal brand. If you think Nike is the company brand, then for example, Nike Air Jordans is the product brand. And then Phil Knight, who recently released his great book, Shoe Dog, is the personal brand. If you think Ford is the company brand, maybe the Model T, which was the first major production car, or the Ford GT, their sports car, might be the product brand. And then Henry Ford might be the personal brand. Could have autobiographies out. He could, you know, become a billionaire philanthropist and have a name and goodwill in his own right. So they're three very different brands. And I don't know how much you want to scale. I don't know if you want to build an empire like I talked about in one of my previous podcasts, or if you just want a part-time income and you want to be kind of have a second income, you know, a part-time job on the side. But I would recommend that you keep in mind your vision of having those three different brands. Now, they kind of work in a triangle because they dovetail, because obviously one can serve the other, can serve the other, that can serve back the other. You could get this virtuous cycle of how they all feed each other, which I'll hopefully get to in a moment. I think the mistake I made when I started Progressive Property was that I knew I wanted to be creative, be an entrepreneur. I was kind of like quite an arty entrepreneur when I started. And I wanted my freedom of expression being the artist in me. And even if you're not an arty entrepreneur, you probably want the freedom to be creative, to have autonomy, to test things. You know, most entrepreneurs, they spin so many plates, they start lots of things and not necessarily great at finishing them all. And I was kind of doing that. So I was buying properties with my business partner. We started Progressive Property. We started selling properties to clients. I wanted to write the book. I'd also trained to be a business stroke life coach, and I had probably 20 or 30 clients, was really interested in personal development and mindset. And you've got all this stuff going on. And myself and my business partner, Mark, sat down and together we made the decision that we should really focus on Progressive. So myself and Mark, our names were associated with Progressive. We built it so much. The emails came from Rob and Mark at Progressive, and the books were Rob Moore and Mark Homer of Progressive Property. And we were known intrinsically like Siamese twins with Progressive Property. And whilst the upside of that is that you build the brand quicker and you build the goodwill quicker. I mean, if you look at Tony Robbins, he's done exactly the same. He has Robbins Research, and of course, all his events are Tony Robbins events. You know, he's got some good, what you might call junior or a lower level than him trainers, assistant trainers, if you like. And I don't want to say that to patronize them. I'm sure they're very good in their own right. But people don't go to a Tony Robbins event to see anyone other than Tony Robbins, no matter how good they are. And so that was us with Progressive Property. So the challenge that it gives you when you want to grow is you can't go and do something else. Now, of course, I wouldn't want to do this, although you never know. But let's say I wanted to set up a vegan retreat. in Thailand. Because I've just chose it not to be patronizing, but because it's just a completely different thing. If I then start emailing my progressive property clients and talking on my progressive property blog, the progressive property events about, you know, hey, if you want to make passive income from property and build your portfolio and replace your pension, then, hey, the way you do that is by not eating meat. And it's like, what? He's lost the plot. So the more you get known for something, the less easy it is for you to do something else. Whereas what I really wanted to do, and I didn't know how to articulate this to Mark when we started negotiating and discussing, you know, the vision of our business, was I wanted the freedom to be able to do my own thing too. But he didn't want me to do my own thing at the detriment to Progressive, which is fair enough. But I didn't really want to do my own thing like outside of Progressive to monetize. I just wanted to express myself, you know. And back then, I guess Facebook pages and Twitter and Instagram and YouTube and LinkedIn, you know, followers in the millions weren't as common or as easy to build. But I think they're a lot more common and a lot easier to build now. So if I were to go back then, I would have set up my own personal brand. And I would have done my personal development stuff, my mindset stuff, my business and life coaching stuff there separately, even if I had no product or service yet and I just did daily podcasts or daily live feed videos or weekly articles. I just keep putting content out there to build that goodwill and that reputation elsewhere. Now, if you do that in two separate worlds, you know, like you've got Apple, iPhone and Steve Jobs, like you've got Nike Air Jordan, and then you've got Phil Knight, then you can probably build all three very deeply and strongly. Now, if you start with the end in mind, here's what you do. You make sure you set up all profiles, all platforms, all websites and URLs and all assets in all names. Now, even to the point where many authors who are well known, they'll even set up a URL and domain name and maybe even a Facebook page and a Facebook group just for a book that they write. So I'll give you an example. Hal Elrod, who has the Miracle Morning book, he set up the Miracle Morning community just as part of the book assets. I'm sure he's got a Miracle Morning URL, and I think there's like 100,000 people in that group. There might be more now. I've given him a bit of a good advert, but he'll still have his own brand, Hal Elrod. He runs his own podcast. And so I have my own brand for the Disruptive Entrepreneur, and I have the Disruptive Entrepreneur website, and I have the Disruptive Entrepreneur podcast. And I'm kind of known for that, but my Facebook pages, the name of it is actually Rob Moore Progressive, because I set it up when I was Progressive. But thankfully, that didn't matter too much, because the good thing about the name Progressive is it's generic enough. It's like Virgin, it's like Horizon, it's like Apogee, it's like Apex. It can grow, it has a big vision, it's not tied to anything. And I think if you want to scale your brand, that's a smart play. We'll get to that in a minute. So have you got right now your company URLs in the .com and in the country you're in, the Facebook pages, the Facebook groups, the Twitter pages, the LinkedIn groups, the Instagram pages, the YouTube channels for your company, your companies, your personal name, and then if you've got any really strong products like, you know, books. So we'll be doing that for my book, Money. We've done it for my book Life Leverage, because they're assets and brands in their own right. Now, of course, Life Leverage is not as big as Nike or Jordan's. I mean, that's a whole phenomenon. But, you know, if you don't set them up to be that, then they'll never be that. Okay, now, if you have all three assets of company brand, product brand, personal brand, then you have ultimate flexibility. You can pivot. You can still be creative, but not so random that people don't get who you are. Because you know those people who are flighty and get rich quick, and they jump from one thing to another thing to another thing to another thing. They're searching. That, you know, the freebie seekers, the course junkies, all these people now. Look, I'm not knocking any of that, because I'm the biggest course junkie out there ever. But until they find their main thing, no one really knows what they do. And you know when people tell you that they do everything, you know actually, or you think, well, I don't think you do anything. So the flexibility of having all three assets separate, but then you can jump in and out of them, is number one. If you ever sell your company, you can actually sell your company. Because Tony Robbins, if he wanted to sell his company and retire, is going to have a big problem getting a good multiplier or a good PE ratio, or even actually selling his company outright without him being there. Now, he might be able to sell it and sell shares in it. I believe he's, you know, raised equity in his companies, but he'd still have to be there and be involved. So if your company is called Progressive Property, then Rob Moore can sell that, because the brand and the name are disassociated. So the more linked you are to the company brand, the less value it has to someone buying it. Or it might have some value to buy, but they'll want you to stay on for 2 or 3 years. And, you know, they might do a deal where they give you a little bit of cash up front, and then most of it is performance-based, and you might not want to be tied to that. So you're kind of tied there. The next benefit is you can scale the company, because you can scale your events business, training business, speaking business, plumbing business, whatever business. If, you know, you're not the head salesperson, when the customers call, they'll speak to someone else, not you. So with your name above the door and your name on the company, you can't scale it because everyone wants you. And this is the classic one-man band mistake that entrepreneurs make. Oh, well, you know, I'm the only person that the clients want to speak to. They don't want to be sold to by anybody else. I set my domain name up a few years ago, Rob Morton Sons, and so I can't change it. Nothing to say you can't, by the way. And so they have all these excuses, but you only have a certain amount of hours in a day. And you can work harder and harder and harder, but then you get stressed, demotivated, uninspired, you'll burn out. And then, of course, you put your whole livelihood at risk. You put your company at risk. And then if something happens to your company and your brand is intrinsically linked to it, then you have problems personally in your own brand. Something happened to Progressive Property, you know, of course, people who know the links, you know, that would not necessarily be great PR for me. But if I've got my own brand that's there and strong, it would likely survive. So when you've got these separate brands, you have protection from legal issues. If you get sued or if you have IP or license issues, you've got separate entities. So often people break up their companies when they have certain parts of the company that are big. You think of Toyota and Lexus. So you can either buy more companies to de-risk by having more brands, or you can break up your brands into multiple brands. Now, Toyota set up Lexus because they wanted to break into the American market as well, and they didn't want to give it a Japanese name because Japanese cars weren't so popular there. But that's another benefit of having product brands as well as company brands. If you have reputational difficulties, if something happens to you that's bad for your reputation, or maybe you have some bad PR, then you're hopefully your product and your company brands are separate from that, and vice versa. You also get to do what you want. Now, when you've got a corporate brand, a product brand, and a personal brand, that means you can do what you want in your spare time. You know, if you want to go on a vegan retreat and you want to set that up and you want to get a few of your friends to come with you or a few of your followers, well, you can, because it's nothing to do with Progressive Property. And if you want, well, whatever you want to do, if you want to test new products and services and you don't want to test them to your Progressive Property company because you're not sure if they're going to buy it, or even like being marketed it, then you can test it to your followers and fans, and then those that work you can bring into the company. So you get this creativity that you can make it your hobby, you can test new products and services. The next reason of having separate brands is that the personal brand has way more power and leverage and goodwill and latent money and scalability than it ever used to have. You know, a personal brand couldn't compete with a corporation 30 or 50 years ago, no chance. But now some of the biggest brands are starting to be personal brands. If you look at the brand of Floyd Mayweather, the brand of Conor McGregor, the brand of Kim Kardashian. Kim Kardashian reputedly made $460 million from her Instagram account in the last tax year. I mean, that is craziness. The Rock, you know, Dwayne Johnson, multiple brands, his films, Ballers and his TV shows. He's got his joint venture with Apple. He did the Siri. He did the voiceover for a really famous kids film. Okay, so you've got these YouTube stars and these YouTube celebrities. You've got Dr. Dre, who of course was an artist and he was a producer. And then he did the Beats joint venture. And then they sold it to Apple for more than $1 billion. I don't know how many billions, but it was in the billions. You've got endorsements and sponsorships and joint ventures and partners with influencers, interviews. You know, like if you've got a big social media following, you do an interview with someone else who's got a big social media following and all of your followers and fans cross over with each other. And then if you've got sponsorships, endorsements, or if you've got a marketing funnel or whatever, you can create a lot of revenue from that. So the modern entrepreneur, this is what they do. Yanni from Yanimize, who's got 1 million Instagram followers. You know, I really believe he's one of kind of the modern entrepreneurs. And he's just built that many followers. And how many out of his 1 million followers are going to be customers? Of course, it's going to be a huge amount that are. And they're all talking about it. And, you know, when it comes to car detailing and wrapping, that's the name that everybody knows because he's on social media. He's embracing it. I went to interview him. There's a load of TV cameras there because he's doing some His TV series are recorded for the Dave TV channel, and he must have done about 3 snaps in about an hour, you know, the Snapchat videos. So this is the modern entrepreneur, and, you know, it's Darwinian times. You embrace this and you are going to, it's the survival of the fittest. You don't embrace this and you're going to get left behind. You also then have multiple streams of income because you can have your podcast. Maybe you have ads on it. There's nothing wrong with ads. I don't do ads on mine because I don't need the money. But, you know, if you hear ads in the future, it means I've been paid a ridiculous amount of money that I couldn't turn down. Or I'm endorsing someone I love, like if Audemars Piguet, you know, or I don't know, Vivienne Westwood came to me and wanted to do some endorsements or whatever. I'd definitely consider that because I love those brands. But you've got income streams from the podcast. You've got income streams from the YouTube views because you'll get the ads that will run on and you'll get a certain amount of pounds per view, dollars per view. You've got your company brands and you might have your property portfolio and you might have your licenses for your products and your franchises. And all of a sudden you've got 6, 8, 10, 20 income streams, very powerful. And who doesn't like multiple streams of income? Come on, admit it, you love it. All right, the next thing is it gives you the creative license to test. It gives you the variety that you need, that all entrepreneurs need. You've got instant pivotability. Kodak, I think they pretty much went bust even though they designed the digital camera and digital photography because, you know, they didn't embrace the modern times. And if you've got these separate brands, then you can definitely pivot. So I think the best kind of company brand, which enables scale and the ability to pivot and change and reach and could pretty much be in any niche or industry, is one that has a big sky generic name. Like I said before, Virgin is one, Apple is one, Progressive is one. Skyline would be another. I don't know if that's taken, you can have that. Although there might be everyone trying to get that now. So, you know, if you call your company Rob Moore and Sons Plumbers, then that's all you're doing for the rest of your life. And if it's not Rob Moore or Rob Moore's son, then the clients are not going to be very happy. So I think you want to consider that as your corporate brand. Now, there are a lot of companies out there that they do what they say on the tin. But look at Uber, another great brand because, you know, we know what Uber is, but Uber could be anything, anything at all. So great brand. You don't want to limit your growth when you start out. All right. So I think that'll do. Thanks for tuning in to the Disruptive Entrepreneur podcast on the 3 types of brand and how you build and integrate them. Let me know if you think this kind of information I'm giving you is useful by coming and telling me and giving you feedback in the Disruptive Entrepreneurs community. If there's any guests you think I should interview, my goal with guests, just so you know my strategy, because I normally have a strategy behind what I'm doing, is I will go for really big names. I won't just go for really big names. And I won't go for really big names if they've been pimped out on a lot of other platforms. So I like to have quite unique people. Or I'll go for people I'm inspired by, or I'll go for unknown people that have got amazing stories that you probably haven't heard of that are doing amazing things, like, you know, Dame Stephanie Shirley, for example. She's not really well known in our world. I mean, she is in the philanthropic world, but not so much in the entrepreneur's world. She's no Richard Branson in terms of brand, but she's done great things. So if you've got anyone that you think fits that criteria, you'd love to hear me interview, let me know. We've got some great, great, great guests and some huge names coming up. So I'm very excited about that. And then also, if you could go and review the Disruptive Entrepreneur podcast, it's got 280 reviews. Thank you for the 280 people. But we now have hit more than 1 million subscribers across the world in 184 countries, which is amazing. But that means there's a load of you who are still sitting on your ass and you're not giving me some love. And I shouldn't have to beg for the love. But, you know, if you don't give me loads of reviews, then I might have to go and put 84 adverts a minute in like some of the other podcasts do. All right, I wouldn't do that to you. But yeah, I'd be really grateful if you could go and leave a review because obviously the more reviews is great proof. So, you know, these great guests that are researching the podcast to see if they think they want to do it because their time is valuable and they see loads of reviews, you know, they're going to do it. It's not just for my, you know, my ego. I do read them all, by the way, including the ones that are critical, and I do take on feedback. So if you've got any feedback on how you think I can improve the podcast, please let me know. Any content or subject matter, not just interviews, but subject matter that you want me to do, please share. I mean, we're coming up to now 200 episodes. Who'd have thought it? Who'd have thought we got this far? And we have something really special on our 200th episode. You'll love this. It comes up on Halloween, actually, pretty much either side or the day of Halloween. So we're going to do business nightmares and we're going to talk through loads of business nightmares and problems and mistakes and difficulties. not to be negative, but to give you the full story. People are often saying that I keep it real in it. And so I think it's really important to share the mistakes and the difficulties and the challenges as well. And what a great theme on Halloween. And also we're going to be doing it live to a studio audience. So I think it was the 150th episode. And we absolutely filled to the rafters at one of our training suites when we did the live episode. It went down really well. So we're going to do that on the 200th. So if you want to be involved in that, then you need to be letting me know you want to be involved in that. If you want to be a special guest in that, I won't be charging. But I guess we'll have, 60 or 70 people only. And because of the size of this particular room, we'll be holding it in. So there's a few things we've got going on. Go and review. Let me know if you want to be in the live audience and get in the Disruptive Entrepreneurs community. Share the hell out of the podcast. Share the arse off the podcast. All right. Have a great day. And remember, if you don't risk anything, you risk everything.